We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
PDOT time on a Thursday.
And Paul Dottino is brought to you by New York Community Bank, online at mynycb.com. By United Healthcare and their Oxford products, by Remax, by 2 by London. Visit the engagement experts at Americana, Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. And by CSEA, Local 830, we work for you, the one and only Paul Dottino. Hi, Paul. How are you?
Happy New Year, guys. How are you enjoying that extra hour?
Oh, we're loving every second of it.
I like it. I got to tell you.
Loving every minute of it.
I think sometimes, PDOT, we would do 3 hours. It'd be so much to talk about. We wouldn't get to a bunch of stuff. So I think having the fourth hour is like you could spread out a little bit.
Fun and games.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. When there's a lot of stuff to talk about, that extra hour is great. Oh. But then when it's a really dry time, and you know every once in a while it does get that way during the calendar, it can be maybe a little bit tedious.
Yeah, well,
you know,
we're heading for the dry time.
You know what's funny,
we
though?
Are heading for that.
There are drier times, but in New York, especially this offseason with both football teams, and the fact that the baseball offseason is still developing, and God knows what the Yankees will do next. We know the Mets won't do anything. Like, it kind of feels like it's never really going to get that dry. Mm. Make it drier.
No, not now. Yeah. I think you're right. I think you're right. This is a good time right now to be a New York talk show host because there's a lot going on with almost every franchise. There's something you could talk about.
Mm. What did you think last week of Gettleman? I think he came across very well to a lot of Giant fans. He talked a tough game. What did you think of what he had to say?
He proved everything in that press conference of why I thought he was the number one runaway choice from the very beginning. There's nothing that he said that you could criticize, that you'd be disappointed with. In fact, everything that he said seemed to resonate in the Giants locker room, because in talking to a lot of the guys during Baggy Day, the players who at least heard some of it, if not all of it, were all on board with all of the mission statements that he has for this organization.
Mm. Paul, do you see any way that the Giants do not take a quarterback with that second pick in the draft?
Oh, I think it's highly unlikely they do take a quarterback.
Highly unlikely. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's the smart way to go. They should bring back Eli as the starter in 18, which Gettleman has strongly hinted he's going to do, unless somebody is able to present him evidence to change his mind in the video, and I don't think he's going to find that. So he's pretty much told everybody that Eli is going to be the starter at 18. Davis Webb has done nothing but wow everybody in the building, top to bottom, with every week that he's been at the Giants. So there's really no need to take a quarterback at all. What they need to do is hold up anybody who desperately needs a quarterback and wind up getting back a shopping cart load of picks for that number two. And this way, Dave Gettleman, okay, as the new GM, will have a huge allotment of draft picks at his disposal.
Okay, so let me ask
to
you
do
this.
What he needs to do.
All right, so let me ask you this, because we're just debating this, and I say no way would this happen. So the Jets, sitting there at 6, God knows, need a quarterback. They would the Giants trade with the Jets that second pick so the Jets could take that quarterback?
I'd love to see it.
But would they do
quite
it?
Frankly,
would they do it?
You know what? I think both organizations probably would be gritting their teeth to do that because of the obvious competition in the marketplace. But it actually makes the most sense, Joe. You know, you and I could sit down and hammer this out over some pasta.
No, I think, look, if you're telling me, because I don't buy that, I don't believe it. I think the Giants will take a quarterback. But if you're right and the Giants are not taking a quarterback, then it would make sense to me, with sitting there with 6 with the Jets, to make this trade with the Giants. Let me get the second pick. Okay, let's say they take Darnold. Okay, we'll take Rosen, and we'll go from there. But I would do it. I'm not saying I wouldn't do it. I just wonder if the franchises would do it, you know?
I love it, Joe. It's a perfect fit because at number 6, the Giants probably would have a good chance to get McGlinchey, the offensive lineman from Notre Dame.
Notre Dame, right.
Who truthfully is probably not worth the number 2 pick, but is certainly worth the number 6 pick. So if you want to toss in, you know, 3 other premium picks or a 4th pick, maybe even a conditional, we can make that trade. You can get your quarterback. I can get the offensive lineman, and everybody's going to be happy.
I think that, and I was looking at past trades, try to use it as a template. Doesn't mean that's exactly what would happen. And the Carson Wentz trade was 8-2, which is similar, except in this case, the Giants would be doing better. It'd be 6-2 or 2-6. And it was a fours were swaps. Let's forget that. A 3, a 1, and another 3. And that was the deal. So would you make, if that's the deal on the table, and maybe swap out one of the threes for a 2 because the Jets have 2 twos, they could afford to do it. Would you do that? That offer that got the Philadelphia Eagles Carson Wentz, is that enough for you?
It's just, so you're talking about swapping the positions plus throwing in three other picks?
Two threes and a 1. Yeah. That's what the Wentz trade was.
Yeah, next year's 1. I'd even give him one of the 2s this year. I would do that.
Thank you. That's what I need, Joe.
Here's what I do. I'll give you next year's 1. I'll give you we have 2 number 2s. I'll give you Seattle's second round pick. I want the higher second round. I'll give you that pick. I'll give you next year's number 1, and we'll work out, I don't know, maybe a 2, another 3, something
that
will work out.
That gets you done, right, Paul?
Right? You agree with that, right?
Okay. I'm telling you right now, we're going to swap the picks. You're going to give me this year's 2,
yep.
Next year's 1,
right.
And next year's 2. We got a done deal.
And that is very similar to what the Browns and the Eagles did, and that was from 8-2, not 6-2.
Right.
But, you know, Joe brings it up, and you touched on it as well, the hesitation that both franchises would have about the ramifications of a deal like that. From what you understand, do you get the sense that Gettleman would look past that and say, look, I got to look at the best interest of the franchise? Because that's the way I'd look at it. It's the way I always look at Met Yankee trades, Jet Giant trades, whatever trades. I don't care. If it helps the Yankees win a World Series, what do I care? As long as it helps me and the team I'm running, do you think Gettleman could look past that from what you know of him?
I know that Gettleman is a facts-first guy, and he doesn't let emotions get in the way of anything that he does. He believes in what he sees. He believes in the tape. He believes in the all of the evidence before him, and that's what guides his decisions. So if you're telling me, do I think so? Yeah, I probably think he could pull the trigger on a trade like that if he really thought that it made sense. But again, now you got to go to Giants ownership and see how they would feel about it, because a deal of that nature is not going to be done strictly with the GMs. You know, both the Jets and Giants owners were going to have to get involved too.
Yeah, no doubt about that. No doubt.
What makes you? And obviously, you're a big fan of Davis Webb, and who knows, he could be Kerry Collins, like you've mentioned. Why are you so confident though that they won't take the quarterback at 2 and simply use their pick to take Josh Rosen?
Well, let's look at it this way. Even if I did not have all the information and all the things that I feel and that I know about this, let's just step back from the forest and just listen to what Dave Gettleman said. Gettleman has clearly been very much on board with Eli Manning being the guy. Okay, so Manning's going to be the guy in 18. Who knows if he can give you 19 or not? I think that's debatable. You got to wait and see. But Eli's going to be the guy in 18. The way the Giants' salary cap situation is, the age on the team, the way this team is constructed, and the way John Mara has talked, he said, look, I expect this to be a good team next year. Well, this is not a long-term deal. They're trying right now to do some kind of quick fix to get this team back in the playoffs in 18. To do so, A, you've got to have Eli Manning as the starter. We've already checked that box with Gettleman. B, you're going to have to surround him with as many quality, useful players as possible to fill the multiple holes that they have. The way to do that is to have the extra draft choices. Okay, that's number 2. Number 3, Davis Webb has already sat behind Eli Manning, had lunch and dinner and breakfast with him and tutored under him for the last 6 months. They know so much more about Davis Webb than they do about any draft pick who's coming out of college in April. And so far, Davis Webb has checked every single box of everybody in that organization till now. So why would you not assume and presume that he would continue to do so? Okay, we're not talking about having, pick any of the guys they've had. Sage Rosenfels, you know, sitting on the bench waiting to be the next starter. That's not the case. You know, this isn't even Ryan Nassib we're talking about.
Right.
We're talking about a guy who has checked every single box. There's not a guy in the Giants facility who has said one negative word to me about Davis Webb since he got here. So I totally buy in and believe that he's the next guy, much like Jeff Hostetler was behind Phil Sims when George Young refused to trade him, despite many demands by that quarterback who said, I want out of here to get a chance to play.
If Gettleman, and Gettleman talks about watching tons of tape, you know, spends days and days watching tape. If he watches tape, and let's say it's Rosen, and comes away thinking this is a franchise quarterback, even knowing what they know about Webb. And you're right. Look, if it's about winning next year, you're better off trading the pick. You're 100% right. But if he walks away thinking Rosen can be a franchise quarterback, you think that changes the plan? And he says, I can't miss this opportunity?
Well, here's the only way I think it makes sense to do it.
Go ahead.
If he is all in, if Gettleman says, I absolutely 1,000% believe in one of these quarterback prospects, like Ernie Accorsi did with Eli Manning. Guys, I've told you this story before. 2004, Wellington Mara wanted to stick with Kerry Collins. Collins had gotten him to a Super Bowl. He told Ernie Accorsi, I think we should stay pat. I think Collins can get us back there again. Ernie was 1,000% in disagreement. He believed that Eli Manning was one of those, you know, once every two decades superstars that absolutely was going to hit. And so Wellington, in giving his GM the power, much like John Mara will give Dave Gettleman the power, of course he went and made the trade, went up and got Eli, and we all know how well that worked out. Not that Kerry Collins had a bad career, because after he left the Giants, he put up some pretty good numbers
for
a couple of teams, including the Oakland Raiders.
Right, Tennessee.
Okay? So, yeah, so let's not kid ourselves. Wellington Mara was right. Kerry Collins resuscitated his career. He was a good quarterback. So, If Gettleman believes he's all in, then the only way it makes sense is he goes all in for one of these guys, keeps Webb around as a three quarterback system. By the way, that wastes a roster spot. If you think you're going to be good this year, I don't know that you can really afford to keep the three quarterbacks because it wastes a spot. Mm. But you'd have to keep Webb. Then groom both of those young fellas to where you might be able to trade one of them next offseason. But here's the big thing. You better be able to fill all the other holes that you have, including offensive line, wide receiver, and linebacker, through free agency and through the rest of the picks you've got. Otherwise, you're wasting time because you're going to play Eli Manning in 2018. You're not going to have enough bodies to fill the holes that you have. The Giants will wind up winning four or five games while you've got these two young quarterbacks sitting on the bench waiting for 2019. I don't know that that's a good idea, but I could understand if he's all in and he really thinks that over the next 10 years, you're talking about another multiple Super Bowl franchise guy. Okay, I would understand it. I'd sit back. I'd wait and see. I have faith in Dave Gettleman, knowing what he's doing, that you'd have to allow him that opportunity to work his magic, if you will. But that will not help the Giants in 2018 if they take a quarterback.
Oh, of course not. You're right about it. I mean, look, if it's about 18, you're right. It doesn't help them. It's more a long-term vision thing.
Right. Who's the next coach in your mind?
Well, I look at the seven people that have been confirmed as guys getting interviews.
Right.
And you know what, Joe, the truth? I thought Gettleman was so many miles ahead of all the other GM candidates that were available, it was a slam dunk. The coaching pool that I see right now, I don't see anybody that stands head and shoulders above the rest on that list that makes it a slam dunk.
Mm-hmm.
I truly think this is going to the racetrack and it's an open field. They're all coupled at 5-1 and just wind up going with what Gettleman's gut tells him, because he is the guy who's going to have the biggest impact on John Mara and Steve Tisch's decision. He knows football. He goes by the evidence. If he has a really, really strong feeling on one of these guys, perhaps it turns out to be Steve Wilkes, the defensive coordinator from the Panthers. If that's the case, you have to have faith in him, because that's why you hired him as a general manager.
From what you know, do any of these candidates kind of scare you where you'd say, I'd stay away from him?
Well, let's put it this way, Evan. I'm a guy who wants, in this situation, I would want a guy who's got proven head coaching experience. He's won before. He's been to the postseason, won some in the postseason, unless there was a very special circumstance otherwise. To me, I'm going to throw these names out at you only because They're not on the Giants' list right now. And if you were to go off their list, there are two candidates who really, in my mind, fit a lot of the criteria that John Mara and Dave Gettleman have set forth, but yet they're not on the list. One would be Mike Smith, who had four playoff appearances in 7 years with the Atlanta Falcons. He's media savvy. He's a veteran. He's in his, mid to late 50s, perfect age group, and was very well liked by his players and very good with the media. I think he checks a ton of boxes. I think Mike Munchak checks a ton of boxes. Now, he didn't necessarily win and go to the playoffs with the Titans, but the guy was a 9-time Pro Bowler, a Hall of Fame offensive lineman. Everywhere he's gone, the teams have had stupendous, outstanding offensive lines. Dave Gettleman has said his number one priority is to build this Giants offensive line. Seems to me that there's a guy who's qualified to help do that.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, he does. You know, when Jason Lockenford brought his name up a few weeks ago, he kind of makes sense. All the experience he has as an offensive line coach.
Right.
He had the 3 years as a head coach with Tennessee. He didn't make the playoffs or anything. It wasn't a disaster, but, you know, he does kind of, he fits that bill. So do you think they definitely go with a guy with experience, or could Steve Wilks come in and impress enough and get this job?
Well, again, I think the pool is so kind of on the even keel where nobody sticks out so much above the rest. I do think that Wilks has a chance because remember, he was the secondary coach with Carolina when Gettleman was with the Panthers. And so he knows him very well. If he really thinks that he's got the DNA and is like all in, like I said before about if he was all in on a quarterback, you'd have to just take Gettleman's word for it and say, okay, you know what? This is why we hired you to take this job. You know, if you're not going to pay attention to him, if he's that strong for the guy and you don't pay attention to him and go away from his suggestion, why did you hire him in the first place?
Right. Spagnuolo, no shot, right?
You know, I don't know that he's got no shot, but again, look at the pool. The pool is not so outstanding that I would rule anybody out or anybody the favorite. I think any of the people who are riding right now that there's a clear-cut favorite, I think they're just taking pot shots at Marsh, throwing mud against the wall. Because none of the resumes of the seven guys that are on the list will blow you out of the water, that they are so much better than the other six guys, unless you guys see something that I don't.
No. I think it's very close.
Now, by the way, Paul, before I let you go, when is the first film-watching session with you and Gettleman? Is that happening anytime soon?
I've actually asked for it, but I don't think I'm going to get it.
Okay. Good try, though.
Okay.
Is there any chance Eli Apple can be on this team next year?
I think John Mara's statement was actually the most accurate when he said, you know, you'd like it to work out. You'd like to see him give his third year a chance with the Giants. Former number one pick, certainly has the skills of a first-round draft choice. But the new GM and the new head coach, they're going to have to be the ones to sit down in a room with Eli Apple, and they're going to have to figure out if all of this stuff can be repaired. If they don't think it can, then there's no way he can be on this team. But if they believe that he can, once again, you're going to have to give Gettleman a lot of rope here. You hired this guy to fix it. You got to give him the chance to fix it. You can't hire him and then say, well, you think that it can be fixed, but we don't think so. We're not going to let you try. You follow, guys?
Yeah. Sure. All right, Paul. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Paul.
Stay warm, all right?
Absolutely. Try to get back to Jersey safely, Joe, because I got to tell you, man, it looks like there's about 5 feet of snow out there.
Well, I will be taking a train, so hopefully everything goes
running.
You know?
Got to make sure they're running. Thank you, Paul.
Good to talk to you guys.
See you.
P. Dot on the Giants.